John 19, verse 25 through 27. John, the 19th chapter, verse 25 through 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. I want to use for a subject, honoring the discipleship of womanhood. Honoring the discipleship of womanhood. When you look at verse 25, you have at least four women: Mary, her sister, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. I see four status of women at the cross. I see a mother. I see a wife. I see a sister. And I see a single. Each role is given great significance in the Bible. As I dedicate this lesson to womanhood, understand that womanhood is greatly valued by God, for he created the woman. The fact that at the apex of man's greatest event and man's greatest need, the death of Christ, who was the perfect God-man, womanhood is prominently displayed. It is also very significant to note that first to the tomb of the resurrected Christ were women. Women were following Jesus along the road to Golgotha. They were lamenting him, and he called them daughters of Jerusalem and told them, weep not for me. The Bible emphasizes in Mark 15:41 and Matthew 27:55 that there were many women who followed Jesus. And the Bible says in verse number 25, now there stood by, I want to underscore stood by, because I find this statement to be very significant as it relates to womanhood and her discipleship to Jesus. And that is that they always stood by Jesus. When you think in terms of Jesus being in the very crucible of his life, womanhood could be counted on. Whatever status you find women, you will find that women are dependable. And understand, you can qualify this, but on the scale of the majority and their inherent makeup, women are dependable, and you'll find sustainability wherever women are found and living up to what God created them. When all others deserted Jesus, when all the others denied him, when all the others betrayed him, the one consistent, unwavering devotion came from womanhood, a wife, a mother, a sister, and a single. When you think in terms of womanhood, I want to highlight at least three. There are many, but these three characteristics or attributes. The first one is compassion. Those women would not have been at that cross if they had not had compassion for Jesus Christ. The second is courage. There's no way that they would have stood by Jesus at that cross if they had not exemplified tremendous courage. And then thirdly, commitment. Women of compassion, women of courage, women of commitment, wherever you find them. And I want you to, I've already gone through history, I've already gone through my life. And so what I'm about to tell you is that it's a consistent thing. When you think in terms of womanhood, I'm telling you, you'll find compassion. What is compassion? And I know we talk about this, and we've talked about it, but I want to emphasize it again. Compassion is more than a feeling, but it's an act. Going out of one's way to help physical, spiritual, or emotional hurts of others. There is, however, an emotional aspect to it. And I know that it grips the heart and tears at one's heart. But compassion is cerebral. It is centered in the heart and in the mind of what a man knows. When one is compassionate, it means that he is understanding that fairness needs to be involved. Justice needs to be involved. Interdependence must be involved. Co-suffering, seeking to alleviate the suffering. When you think in terms of compassion, if compassion is not a part of the human experience, humanity cannot survive. I'm going to say that again. If compassion, which is an act of co-suffering, seeking to alleviate suffering, if it's not a part of the human experience, humanity cannot survive. When you look at courage, courage is the fear. The courage is not necessarily that which exists instead of fear, but it's one who feels fear yet chooses to act. It does not matter about one thinking that, well, if I'm afraid that maybe I'm not courageous. No, it's when you are courageous. Is when you have fear, but instead of you allowing it to paralyze you, you move forward and you make courage and the act of courage triumphant over the fear that one experiences. Listen to this. Whenever one experiences and exercises courage, it will expand their horizon. If one has courage, one fights through the fear and exemplifies courage, it will, and I want you to listen to that, it will expand your horizon. If you are paralyzed with fear, you don't move forward. You don't experience other wonderful things that life has to offer. So one needs to allow courage to take the place of fear, bringing about dignity and bringing about that which is an exercise of faith. Everybody that you've ever seen exemplify courage, it always dignifies them. And it always brings them to a level of ultimate respect. Not only do I highlight compassion and courage, but commitment, which means to obligate yourself. Those women would not have been at that cross if they were not committed to Jesus. They obligated themselves. They fought through their fear. They were compassionate because they sought to alleviate the suffering of Jesus Christ. And when you talk about commitment, it's commitment that causes one to move to the completion of a task. Commitment means that I will not falter and I will not allow myself to do something half-heartedly, but I will go as far as I can go, as long as I can, and stand in there. These women, this mother, this wife, this sister, and this single, they exemplified compassion. They exemplified courage. They exemplified commitment. Now let me take just a minute or two to go through womanhood as a wife. And I want you to see this, because God is already on record saying that it's not good for man to be alone, but I'll make him a helpmeet. A helpmeet. Well, when you make a helpmeet for the man, what you're adding to the man is compassion. What you're adding to the man is courage. What you're adding to the man is commitment. When you think in terms, and all you have to do is just understand that a woman is good for a man. And Jesus knew that the women were good for him at the cross. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 12:4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. May I say to you, young men, if you have the capacity to marry, find you a good woman. And I guarantee you that she will add to your life. She will add to your existence. I know you say, well, I can make it by myself, but you need a good woman in your life. And so I encourage men, single men, find a wife. Find a good wife. Because she will add to your stature. She will add to your existence and your productivity here upon this earth. Proverbs 19:14 says, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Somebody ought to ask me, Brother Gibbs, why do you say she's prudent? Because she's compassionate. She's courageous, and she's a committed woman. In Proverbs 18 and verse number 22, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Before I leave womanhood, may I pull an example of a woman of compassion, a woman of courage, and a woman of commitment. May I just bring to your mind Abigail. When her old stubborn husband, Nabal, you remember he was obstinate and he was hard. And when David, men came to him asking for bread, he had no compassion. He didn't even sympathize with the individuals who were asking. And they had kept the man safe. They had watched over his flock. And when David and his men, when David's men came to him, he scorned them and turned them away. But thank God he had a prudent wife. Thank God he had a wife who was compassionate. Thank God he had a wife who was courageous. Well, how courageous was Abigail? She said, I know this man is crazy, but I'm going to go on out there and I'm going to find David. And when she found David, she bowed herself before David. And she said, now I know my husband did this and I know my husband did that. But she brought a peace offering in order to save. Watch this now. She saved Nabal, saved their household. She kept them from shedding blood. She said, David, you can't shed blood. That's because women are women who know compassion, courage, and commitment. Now may I move from womanhood as a wife to womanhood as a mother. And I'll show you the same thing exists even there. In Genesis 21:16, when Hagar had Ishmael and Sarah turned her out, the Bible says she went and set her down over against her son a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she sat over against him and lift up her voice and wept. And because of her commitment, and because of her courage, and because of her compassion, God said, I've seen the child. Take the child, and I will make that child a blessing to the world as well. May I say to you, womanhood as a mother is what Jesus was able to see in Mary, who had compassion for her son, courage and commitment to her son. And in the very midst of his suffering, before he took his last breath, he looked down from the cross and saw his mother. And he said to John, and John is out of the ordinary because all the others have run. But John, I don't have time to talk about John. But anyway, I want you to understand that he saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved. And he said unto him, unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And that's because he understood the strength of womanhood and the strength of motherhood. Who can forget about Jochebed? Jochebed, when the decree was given that all of the newborn males would be destroyed in Egypt. Tell me what it was that caused Jochebed to hide her son and make an ark of bulrushes and then put him in the midst of a river, hoping and praying that somehow he would be rescued. It was compassion. It was courage. It was commitment. If you think that's all there is, no. What about a woman by the name of Hannah? 1 Samuel 2:19. Hannah was a mother who at first was barren, but when God blessed her, notice in 1 Samuel 2:19, moreover, his mother made him a little coat, brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Hannah was a mother of commitment, a mother of courage, and a mother of compassion. Just read a story. What about Rizpah? When her sons were delivered into the hands of the Gibeonites and they were hanged them in a hill before the Lord and they fell all seven together. What did this woman do? She made herself a little pallet and she stayed there night after night, day after day, fighting off the buzzards to keep them from eating the flesh of her sons. Thank God David heard about it. But I'm telling you, that's commitment. That's courage. That's compassion. Somebody ought to ask me, I wish I had time to talk about the Shunammite woman. I wish I had time to talk about the two mothers that came before Solomon. But you read, you know the story. I'm telling you all of them. Well, ask yourself this question. What made Miss Graham, when she saw her son on television rioting and looting, and made her in Baltimore, Maryland, rush out there and hit that boy all upside his head and run him all the way back? Somebody ought to ask. It's because that mother had a commitment, that mother had a courage, that mother had compassion. I'm telling you that there is honor to be given to womanhood. And if you're a mother here today, God lifts you up. He honors you because he knows that wherever you are, if you're a good mother, that you're going to have these attributes. It's going to make life a much better life. And that's why he says you'll be saved in childbearing because of your faith and your commitment. May I hasten on as I hasten toward a conclusion. What about womanhood as a sister? Well, you know, it's good to have a sister. And, you know, your brothers might not come to your rescue, but I guarantee you if you got a sister will stand by you probably when others will desert you. And I've often wondered, you know, and I've watched this through life and I've watched this through history. And that is that when those old knucklehead boys go on about their business, it's a sister who will stand by her brother. The brother may not stand by his sister, but I guarantee you that sister going to stand by her brother. Well, I know I'm right because there was a time when Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And when he got sick, what did they do? They called Jesus and told Jesus, "Thy friend Lazarus is sick." And then when he didn't get there on time, they said, "If you had been here, our brother would not have died." Well, the point is that sisterhood, womanhood as sister is very important. Whenever you can get women in the church, now I want you to listen to this. When you can get women in the church supporting one another, encouraging one another, not tearing one another down, I'm telling you, got a strength because you won't find greater compassion, you won't find greater commitment, and you will not find greater courage in the body of Christ than of sisterhood and women in the body of Christ. I've heard some of our leaders say they wish to God that they could make some of these women leaders in the church. Amen. But they can't. Amen. But anyway, but they want to. And you know why? Because they know that that's commitment there. You can't find some brothers out there doing their own thing, but you find you a good woman. I tell you, when we went to symposium, I wasn't supposed to be here, but I was at the symposium and I saw all of those sisters. Man, I saw a strength that I hadn't seen in a long time. I said, man, if God were to unleash these women and let them be leaders, we wouldn't stand a chance, brothers. These women will run us out of here. They talk about you anyway when you get home that you didn't do this right and you didn't do that right. So you know what they would do if they were in charge. Amen. Well, I know I shouldn't talk like that. But I'm just going to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And when two women, Euodia and Syntyche, didn't get along, these two sisters, the Bible said that Paul had to tell them, these two sisters need to agree in the Lord. You show me a church where the sisters are working together and having compassion and courage and commitment. I can show you a church where women, if they don't have it, they'll tear up a church too. Amen. Well, anyway, all right. You said amen a while ago. Say amen now. I'm trying to tell you, you get women stirred up. Well, anyway, sisterhood. All right, womanhood is sisterhood. But then womanhood is single. And I think that we don't pay enough attention to our singles. And I watch our singles. I watch especially our sisters who are single. And our sisters who are single, they have these same attributes of compassion and courage and commitment. And I think that we need to lift them up. And we need to raise them up as sterling examples of what God wants in the body of Christ. Our single sisters, and this lesson is dedicated to womanhood. I'm telling all of our single sisters, we don't overlook you. We see you. And we praise you for your faithfulness and your steadfastness in the body of Christ. But this is what God says concerning singlehood. 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 32, but I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. Single sisters, you ought to be glad you don't have a knucklehead husband. Well, I mean, you don't have a good husband. Well, I mean, you don't have a husband. You need a good husband, amen. My wife is still training me. All right, but watch this. But there is a value. That's the point I'm making. There's a value in being single. He says, but he that is married careth for the things that are the world, how he may please his wife. The world and how he may please his wife. That's vice versa. It's a beautiful thing when you can dedicate yourself to the body of Christ. He says there's a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And he says, this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend unto the Lord without distraction. Singlehood, if you're able to live in that state, is to be praised and it is to be honored. And that's why our ministries here are designed to address all of the phases of life. And I pray that we'll just keep doing and doing even a better job, but encouraging one another. So as I close, you may be, as a woman, a wife, mother, and a sister, but blessed be those relationships wherever you are. If you're a godly woman, if you're a prudent woman, a woman who's virtuous, you may be a mother, a sister, and a single. You may be a single mother. I tell you, whatever state you find yourself, I'm guaranteeing you that wherever you are, if you let these characteristics that these women around the cross had toward their loving master, you will make life better and your children will be better. I guarantee you that boy that got hit all upside his head, and if you watch the film, the other children, the other young men were standing there looking like they didn't know what had happened. But I'm going to tell you this. That mother made a name for herself. And I'm telling you, that video went all over the world. And I tell you that her commitment, her compassion, and her wonderful courage is something that brought dignity to her. It brought dignity to that boy, because that boy didn't try to fight her back. That boy, he was trying to get away from all of that. He was just running the best he could to get away from that. And I asked myself, where's the daddy? Where's the daddy? But I tell you what, when the daddy is gone, I tell you, the mother will be right there. And she said, I'm raising all of them. And that boy knows I didn't raise him like that. I'm telling you that when you do what God has asked you and you live the discipled life, these women followed Jesus everywhere he went. And they ministered to him. They had no problem, because they knew that Jesus would in turn bless their lives because of who he is. Anybody who could walk on water, I know I want to follow him. Anybody who can turn two fish and five loaves of bread into, I mean, two fish and and five loaves of bread into enough to feed 5,000. I know I need to follow him. Anybody who can turn water into wine, I know I need to follow him. Anybody who is the creator of the world and he's able to be able to recreate me and you and the whole world, the whole sinful world, you and I need to follow him. We don't need to follow the people in this world. Don't follow another man. Don't follow just another woman. You need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You follow him all the way to the grave. Tell the world, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to be discipled by him. And because the very things that we're talking about, Jesus showed commitment. Jesus showed courage. Jesus showed compassion. That's what drove him. That's what causes us to be able to be in him today. And I'm telling you, whether you're a woman or a man, try to put some courage in your life. Try to put some commitment in your life. Try to make some compassion be the driving force in your life. And I guarantee you that life will be better for you and it'll be better for anybody else. May you be inspired by these women. God bless you and God keep you. If you're here and you don't know this Jesus, the Jesus that they knew, I'm asking you to give your life to him. I'm asking you to get to know him. As I tell you every Lord's Day, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That's the kind of Christ that we serve. You give your life to him by hearing the gospel, believing it with all of your heart, repenting of your sin, confessing Christ to be the Son of God. Oh, you've got to believe that he is. You've got to be able to repent, change your ways. He said, I tell you, nay, but if you don't repent, you're going to perish. At the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now he commanded all men everywhere to repent. You confess him with your mouth. And I tell you that if you confess him with your mouth, that is your opportunity to have salvation, to have the relationship with Christ unto salvation. And then when you go down in the watery grave of baptism, baptism is that which will put you into the relationship of Jesus Christ. May God bless you. If you strayed away from it, you don't have enough commitment, courage in your life, I'm asking you to rededicate your life. Will you come right now while together we stand and sing? Will you come?
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. And careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your light will soon be gone. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God.